Okay, so I'm hoping what we're going to do tonight, we're going to try to clarify the concepts of muksa, both the concepts and the bottom line halacha. And we're going to try to put it into categories so that we can understand, you know, certain things you can move indirectly, certain things you can't move. So we're going to try to put everything into context, and I've organized it in different categories. So we're going to begin. And I have this outline here, which hopefully we can follow, help us in this regard. So just as an introduction, the term muksa means set apart. Okay? Muksa means set apart. And there are, either you have kalim or things, utensils, items that are mukhan or muksa. Mukhan means that they're prepared to be used for Shabbos. Muksa means that they're not prepared to be. They're set aside not to be used on Shabbos. And I'm just going to share with you one opinion. We have one source here from the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perichav Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis, where the Rambam explains the reason why we cannot move muksa. So the Rambam writes, Asru chachamim letaltal miksas devarim b'Shabbos kederech shu osa b'chol. So Chazal, our sages, forbade us from moving certain things on Shabbos like the way we do during the week. Why did they have this kind of prohibition? Amru, they said, so the rabbis said, or not even the rabbis, the prophet said, that the way you walk on Shabbos has to be different than the way you walk during the week. And when we talk on Shabbos, we can't talk the rest of the week, right? We're not supposed to talk about malacha or certain business items on Shabbos. You have to be different than the rest of the week. Shenemar v'daber davar. It's from a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Kavachomer, certainly, shelo yehei tiltul b'Shabbos getiltul b'chol. That moving things on Shabbos has to be different than the way you move things during the week. Kedei shelo yeh kiyom chol be'enav. So that it doesn't appear to be a regular day in your eyes. V'yavo lehagbio letakim kelim mipina lepina mibayis lebayis latznia avanim v'chayotzi bohem. Because then, if we allow you to move whatever you want, then you're going to be moving stuff around and you're going to be just doing a lot of work. And sharehu batel v'yoshev v'beisel v'yivakish davash yisasek bo v'nimtza shalosh shabbos u'batel hatam shenemar batorah l'man yanuach. And what's going to happen? You're going to be doing work, engaging a lot of moving stuff and doing this and doing that, and you're not going to be, quote unquote, resting on Shabbos. In other words, according to the Rambam, the Chazal wanted to protect the sanctity and the character of Shabbos as a day of rest. And as mentioned to you on the outline, some Rishonim thought that maybe it's for you to prevent from doing malacha. So, for example, if they said you can't move a hammer, we're going to see there might be times you can move a hammer, but maybe we say you can't move a hammer, because if you move a hammer, you might use it to do a forbidden action. Some Rishonim say, some rabbis say, that maybe it's specifically we're concerned about the prohibition of carrying. But in any case, so this is a rabbinic prohibition of muksa, okay? So that's the first step. So that's just the philosophy behind muksa, different opinions. So the truth is, there are many categories of muksa. I am categories, the main examples of muksa on everyday use generally fall into one of four categories. And then maybe we'll discuss a few more. But what we're going to do is we're going to discuss the major categories, and then we're going to go into perhaps the laws associated with them. Okay? So the four main categories are the following. So first, there's something called muksa machmas gufo. Muksa machmas gufo means that something is set aside not to be used on Shabbos because of itself. It has no intrinsic function and is not a designated utensil. For example, a rock, stones, money, soil, inedible shells and peels, food that's not fit for an animal consumption, raw food that you wouldn't eat without cooking or baking or flour. These are things that are not fit for any use on Shabbos. Okay? Any questions on the definition? I'm first going to define the categories, and then we're going to discuss the rules. So one category, muksa machmas gufo, is where it has no intrinsic use. You know, for example, to pick up a stone, a rock that you find on the sidewalk on Shabbos, you're picking that up, that stone is muksa machmas gufo. You can't simply pick it up. We're going to actually discuss the rules, but these are things that are intrinsically set aside. The second category is muksa machmas chisaron kis, something that is that would, let's say, is set aside. Why? Because it's valuable. It would not be handled except perhaps for its specific non-permissible use due to its great value or its fragility. So let's say you have these delicate china pieces that you only use to display. It's a very, and you wouldn't move it normally. You wouldn't move it. Right? So that might be muksa machmas chisaron kis. There's no point in you moving it. A shchita knife. I don't think many of you have shchita knives at all, but okay. But that's the example they give. They give a shchita knife, or maybe a very, very expensive camera that you would only use it for taking pictures. You wouldn't use it for anything else. So that might be muksa machmas chisaron kis. There's no reason why you would use it on Shabbos. A musical instrument, maybe. A musical instrument, a passport. There's no permitted use. You would only use a passport potentially, right, for a forbidden use. In other words, we're going to see that there are certain items that are predominantly used for a forbidden purpose, but sometimes you might use it for a permitted purpose. Some items, because maybe they're very expensive or they're very fragile, you would only use it for a forbidden purpose. There's a purpose that is not permissible on Shabbos. So all these examples that I gave here are something that you wouldn't touch at all, you wouldn't move at all, or there's no reason why you would use it on Shabbos at all. So that's muksa machmas chisaron kis. Okay?
Well, like what about like a fancy kiddush cup or something?
No, but that you would use. Okay, you would use that on Shabbos.
Not related. The valuable.
It's not always. No. In other words, if there's something that's very fancy and valuable, but you use it on Shabbos, that's fine. We're talking about something that you might not use it because it's so. You, in other words, you wouldn't want to handle it in, for a specific. The way that I personally look at muksa machmas chisaron kis is something that there's no way you would use it on Shabbos because the only maybe either because it's valuable and so you would only use it for that specific purpose, which is generally for which you can't use on Shabbos, or because maybe it's very fragile, so you don't use it for a non-permissible purpose on Shabbos. And there's no reason why you wouldn't use a shechita knife to cut your meat. You wouldn't want to ruin that. You wouldn't use a musical instrument
so
or something else.
Like a Chanukiah.
A Chanukiah.
Let's say you have it in your china closet.
Maybe there's a Chanukiah. Why would you? Yeah, could be some of these things. What?
Like
a driver's license might also, right. The question, would you use a driver's license for a bookmark? I mean, that's really the question. Would you use a passport? So some of these things are like gray area questions, but probably better, not to. If an expired license, you might use it as a bookmark, Everyone always uses these expired credit cards as rulers, right? So, I mean, that you can't use on jobs, but it's like, but yeah.
But wait, let's just go back to the driver's license. So like if you want to bring if I'm walking a distance crossing some big streets, I always think that I should have identification on
this. Ah, you have identification. Right. So then there might be so right. In other words, if there's right. In other words, if there's a reason.
Taking the driver's license.
Right. So in other words,
I have this little zipper thing.
Right. So you say in case someone stops you, or in case God forbid something happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, so that might be different. No, so you're right. So that was if we're saying that if it's permitted for that, then that might be something different. Yeah. So that might be different. That might be different.
Like I know we were just talking about like the kids use them as like metro cards or like old metro cards or old licenses or stuff like that as toys.
So I'm saying I don't think that's it, that because right. They're using it as toys. So that's something different. Right. So that wouldn't fall into this category. A Chanukiah is interesting. So a Chanukiah. Right, why would you use it on Shabbos? No, that's what I'm saying.
So that might be an issue.
It's good. We're in a Chanukiah.
You need to move things around in your
Chanukiah. Is there ever permissible use for that? Yeah, I don't know. Right.
It depends on, if you have to get something behind it, that is Muslim.
So what are you going to talk about? That's not that I'm saying. There's a way to do that. But I'm saying you have to know whether it's a Kalisha Balakhtal Is or a Muksa Machlach Sarah Kis. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. That would seem to potentially be a problem, I think.
I'm not
going to
touch it.
Right. In other words,
Right.
No, but there are okay. Well, we're going to talk about ways to do these things. So a third category is a kli shabalachto le'iser, and that's any item whose primary purpose is for Shabbos prohibited use, like most durable electric appliances, like a radio or a fan. empty pots and pans. And those pots and pans are usually used for cooking. That would be klisha malach dola iser. Right? Now there's a pot that you normally cook with, so that's predominantly used for a forbidden purpose. So that's called the klisha malach dola iser. This category number three is less severe than category one and two, as we'll see. I'm just trying to define categories. Pencils, pens, scissors, hammers, saws, and most durable tools, you might use them for a permitted purpose potentially. In other words, they're predominantly used for a forbidden purpose, but you might handle them for a permitted purpose as well. Okay? So that's a klisha malach dola iser. Yeah?
So the question. So you have certain things, like it says scissors, that are specifically for food items. Is it like...
Oh, so that's different. Yeah, so that'd be different. Yeah, that'd be klisha malach dola iser. Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, sorry, that's right. I may should correct that. Yeah, we're talking about a scissor not for food, like something that... Right, it's like a scissors for paper or something.
But what if you used any of those things not for its purpose?
No, so that's fine. So we're going to see that this, we're going to get to what the rules for it, we're just defining terms, but sneak peek. Klisha malach dola iser is permitted. Now, you can use, the classic example they give is using a hammer to open up a walnut if you don't have a... So we're going to talk about the rules, but I'm just first defining the different categories, okay?
Wait,
so
what if you're unloading the dishwasher that's already open and there's a pot in there? And you
want to
put the pot away.
So the pot away.
It's a clean pot.
Yeah. So, well.
I was thinking the dishwasher to hide all my dirty dishes.
Right. So you're saying the pot. Right. Well, no. So it depends for a reason. Why? It depends why do you want to put it away? Do you need the space for something? No, if you need the space for it, then it'll be permitted. We're going to get to the rules, okay? We're just defining terms right now. So the fourth category is basis ledavar ha'asar. So this is any item upon which a muksa item was intentionally, deliberately placed by the owner of both items before Shabbos with the intent that it should remain there on Shabbos itself. So what's an example of that? So that is, let's say you have a, candlestick. So you have a candlestick tray, right? So the fire is muksa. Fire is inherently muksa machmas gufo. Fire is inherently muksa. So you have the fire, the candlestick serve as a base, as a basis. It's a base for the fire. And the tray is also, the tray is a bus. The candlesticks are a basis for the candles and for the fire, and the tray is a basis, a base for the candlesticks. So therefore, theoretically, a table. If the candlestick tray is on the table, and you deliberately put it on the table, you want it to remain there on Shabbos. The table itself becomes a basis. Okay, we can talk about how to move and the different rules here, but I'm saying that another example is if you deliberately place money in a drawer, and you want it to be there on Shabbos. Sometimes, if you forget to leave money, that's not a basis. A basis is where you deliberately leave money in, let's say, the drawer, and you want it to be there on Shabbos. If, for example, you leave some money in your coat pocket, right, and you accidentally find some money in your coat pocket on Shabbos, the coat is not a basis because you didn't deliberately intend, I assume, with the people at the special people that are sitting here in this room, that you would never deliberately leave money in your coat that you're planning on wearing on Shabbos for the purpose of it being there on Shabbos. Okay? We're talking about things that you want to be there. Right? You want, let's say you want your candlesticks to be on the Shabbos table. So you want your candlesticks to be on the tray, to be on the table. You want it to be there. You want to put the money. You know the money's going to be in the drawer, you know, on Shabbos. This is the drawer that I set aside to put my money in there. So the drawer becomes a basis, a base, and so it takes on the same status as the muksa item. Okay? Now, please note two important halachos related to this category. So, number one is, migo diskatze ben hashmashos iskatze l'chulayoma. So this means that since something becomes iskatze, muksa, during ben hashmashos, right, at Friday night at sunset, once it becomes muksa at the onset of Shabbos, they retain their muksa status, even if the candlesticks or the money, as the case may be, are removed from the tray or the drawer, as the case may be. In other words, If for some reason, right, you put you have the tray and you have the candlesticks and you have the candle, and then the fire goes out, and let's say you have a non-Jew for some reason removes the candlesticks. Doesn't make a difference. Once the candles were on top of the candlesticks, on top of the tray, at sunset, when Shabbos started, so that the tray becomes muksa, even if the muksa item was removed. Okay? So that's the principle. It goes by what's on there at sunset. Okay? Now, what some people are lenient, let's say, for example, you know, let's say on your table, right? Some people don't put their candlesticks tray on the table because of this issue. But, for example, something only becomes a basis, a base, if it's a base for only a forbidden item. If something is a basis, l'davar mutar and davar asur, if something permitted and forbidden, and the thing that's permitted is more chashuv, more important, so then it's not a basis. So a classic example, the reason probably why, or very often, let's say the table may not be muksa. I'll give you an example. If you have the chalos, you have your Shabbos chalos on the Shabbos table, right? And you have the candlesticks on the Shabbos table. So the Shabbos table is a basis for your challah and for the candlesticks. Generally, we assume, especially when we have other lights, that you'd rather have the food than the fire. So the assumption here is that's an example where the table does not become a basis, a base, right? It does not become muksa. The table does not become muksa because you also place the challah on the table. You have to put the challah on Erev Shabbos. We go by Bein Hashmashos. So we go by if the challah is on the table together with the candlesticks on the table, so the table doesn't become muksa. Now, there are some. So the big question is, right? What if you want to move your tray, right, Zinta? You want to move your Shabbos tray with the candlesticks, right? After, let's say you want to set, let's say a Friday night, and you don't want the candlestick tray to remain. To remain on your table Friday night, right? So, if some people do that, some people put the candlesticks not on the Shabbos table. So there are some people want to put the candlesticks on the Shabbos table for Friday night and then take it off for Shabbos morning. What's the problem? The tray is a basis; it's a base for the candlestick, which is a base for the candles for the fire. So what some people want to do is place the challahs on the tray, right? So therefore, the tray becomes a basis for the challahs and the candlesticks. That's a questionable heter. So it depends. What the Shmira Shabbos Kochasa says is that if the tray is designated, it's like a Shabbos candlestick tray, then you can't really argue that like it's a base for the challahs and not the candlesticks. Where that comes up is on Sukkos. So what do you do on Sukkos? Where do you put your candlesticks on Sukkos?
Yeah,
oh, and you leave it there all Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but wait, you put it where?
On the table with the
candlesticks. But how are you taking your candlesticks off? Then you should leave it there all Shabbos. Okay, fine. So if you leave all Shabbos. Okay, oh, fine. Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay. So I'm saying, okay, so if you leave it, so that's what I'm saying. So that may be, so or, you know, okay, so you have these.
Like you're saying on Sukkos, if you don't have a tray, you just put the candlesticks on the table.
No, I'm saying you'd have to leave it all Shabbos.
Then you have to leave it the whole time.
Right, oh, unless, no, if you have the chal, you're right. So if the candlesticks are directly on the table. Right. No, but how would you move the candlesticks? Can't move the candlesticks.
I don't know. My mother has a separate table.
Right. No. That's what I'm saying.
Right,
if the candlesticks are directly on the table, it's a problem.
You really have to leave it there. Like, even if it starts raining, you can't move it?
I'm saying so. That's why, well, there, You could do it. There's something. There are ways to move muksa. It's called tilto bagufo, which is very hard to do. I'm saying I would not. My point is I would not recommend. I'm saying that, right, because right. In other words, to put expensive candlesticks right outside when, let's say, it could rain or you're afraid it might get stolen, it's not necessarily the best idea. What I think probably would be okay. If you put it on, let's say, if you put it like on a different tray that's maybe not designated for the candlestick, so maybe that's more of a heter. But if it's like a regular tray, and then put the challahs on the tray together. So what you can do is, another possibility, I mean, people don't like to think like this, is you can light the candles inside. I mean, you could do that also. You can light the candles inside, and then you know, you have other lights. For the sukkah. You could also do that. Right, but you can have other lights. You have other lights. I understand. No, I understand. I understand. I spoke to Rabbi Willing about this case. So he said you light the candles inside. If you want the candles, you can do it. You can light the candles inside. Because no, yeah, what?
He's so cool.
No, that's what I'm saying. So that's what he thought.
It can't be like.
It could be something else. No, it could be something else. But it has to be something. It has to be something that's more chashuv than the fire.
If you set the whole table, and the whole table is ready for Shabbos.
Yeah, I would put the challahs because the challahs are like that's ikra onik Shabbos.
You want to wear the challahs, or you just need
so put other challahs there.
Oh, okay, and you, like,
right. I would put other challahs that you're gonna eat that you eat later on Shabbos. Right. Yeah, that's what I would do. Okay.
Wait, Rob, so just to confirm.
Yeah.
I can't light
the candles on the countertop. You can light the candles.
Then I can't use the countertop.
You can use the countertop. You just can't move the candlesticks.
Oh, so
we're talking about. First of all, I haven't even discussed the rules yet. So the truth is. Let's go through this. So I didn't tell you what the rules are yet, but I'm going to give you a little sneak peek here. Is that the rules of muksa is you cannot move a muksa item. You're not moving you're not moving the countertop. So you can touch a muksa item. You can't touch a muksa item if it might move as a result of that. If you can't move it, there's no problem. Even if you put candlesticks on the countertop, you can touch the countertop, it's not a problem. Even if we would argue that the countertop, let's say, is a basis for it, and I'm not sure, there's no problem, you can touch it. Right? The countertop doesn't move, so it's not an issue. You know, there's a prohibition. The prohibition is tiltal muksa, is moving a muksa item. So if we say that something is a basis, a base, so then we're saying, and we treat it as something that's muksa, so then it would be forbidden to move it, not to touch it. So you don't have a problem, let's say, lighting candlesticks on an item if you don't plan on moving that item.
Right.
Okay?
And what about putting a cell phone in a drawer? Then I can't open that drawer for anything else?
So it depends. Right, yeah. Okay. What?
So it depends.
It might depend. Wait, it might depend. But what else is going to be in that drawer?
Where's the best place? Like, I use
drawers
and closets.
But if it's in a drawer where there are other things that you're going to use on Shabbos, then the drawer would be a basi sadavar aser umutar. Right?
Like, if you put it in the drawer with your cutlery, you need a knife to cut the meat for the Shabbos.
Right.
Also, then open it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's best not to put it there.
Right.
Because I thought then the whole drawer.
No. I'm saying wherever you put the phone, it's a great question. It's a good example. If you put the phone in a drawer, and you also put clothing in the drawer, right, that you can use for Shabbos, so it would be a basis of davar aser umutar. I think the clothing you need for Shabbos is more chashiv because you want that, so that would be okay.
But the thing for mutter, even if you take it out, is still.
What's
even if, let's say, I love that I gave this idea, but
right.
If you take out the cutlery, it's still fine because it was there before Shabbos, the cutlery.
Correct. Oh. Correct. Yeah. Okay. So the
But the only thing is, does it matter if the phone may move or something?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
In other words, what if you move a muksa item? So Laurie's talking about what if you indirectly moving a muksa item to get something. Listen, it's better to, what if you indirectly move a muksa item to get to something that's permitted? We're actually going to discuss it. It's actually permitted, but we're going to discuss it. In general, I think it's good practice to put all your phones away in an area that you won't, you know, use. But I'm saying if you put it in a different area, let's say you have that and you have clothing you can use for Shabbos, you would be able to take that out.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah, sure.
I've seen, or someone told me, I don't remember, but they put like expensive jewelry on the tray for the candlesticks because they did want to move it.
Right. So it's a questionable. So I don't want to say everyone says it's. I'm saying it's questionable. What I'm saying is it's questionable. There are those probably who allowed. Yeah, they'll put jewelry because they're saying the jewelry is more chashiv than the fire, and it's a basi sadavar aser mutter. It's a base something that's forbidden and permitted. They're saying the jewelry is something that's permitted. It's more important. It's more expensive than the fire, right? And something I want more, and therefore you have to move it. What I'm saying is there are some poskim who hold that if the tray that's talking about if the tray is if the bus is something that's neutral, but if the tray is specifically designated for the candlesticks, so then it's more problematic. I'm not saying to anyone, so then my recommendation is try to avoid it if possible. Okay. But I can't say the person is doing something wrong. There is what to rely on, but I think it's better to try to have a different solution. We're only prohibited, as I mentioned, this is Dina's question, from moving muksa items, but we may touch these items as long as touching these items will not inevitably cause the muksa items to move. For example, you can spread a tablecloth on top of a computer, right? The computer is muksa, but let's say you don't want it to be in showers, you can put the tablecloth on top of it because you don't. You know.
That's what I do. I have a little television in the kitchen, and I don't want that to be seen. Right. Just I have a little like.
Right, but you're probably doing that before Shabbos.
Yeah, I do it before.
I'm saying that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm saying beautiful. I'm saying Susie, that's beautiful. I'm saying you could even do that if you forget to do it before Shabbos. You could even do that on Shabbos, because you're not moving it.
I'm not moving it.
Correct. No, it's nice. It's kavod Shabbos. It's appropriate to do it before Shabbos. But if you didn't want to do it, if you didn't doing it, you would be allowed to put it on top of it on Shabbos. Okay, try to avoid it. Okay. So now we're going to talk about the rules. Now we defined the four basic categories, and so now we're going to talk about the rules. So when it comes to the most lenient of these four categories. Is a kli shemalachto le'iser. Okay? A kli shemalachto le'iser, a hammer, like a pen, a pencil, non-food scissors, electric, most durable electrical appliances. So for these things, you can move it for one of two reasons. Either what's called litzorech gufo or litzorech mekomo. What is litzorech gufo? If you need it for a permitted use. For example, you can use, this is the classic example that the post can bring, you can use a hammer to crack a nut if a nutcracker is not available. And some people aren't aware of that. If you have an option of a permitted utensil versus a non-permitted utensil, you should use the permitted utensil. If you can't find one, so then you can use it for a permitted purpose. Also, you can move an electric fan if it is needed elsewhere, as long as you don't pull it out of the socket. Okay, so an electric fan is a kli shemalachto le'iser. You want it to, you make sure you don't move it out of the socket. You can move it to blow, air. Right, so that is not.
Why though? That's using it for its usher purpose.
It's not. No, it's not. See, you're saying you're not. No. What's usher about? You're saying the muksa, the moving it. No. What I'm saying is. I'm saying that it's what is the forbidden act when it comes to a fan? Maybe plugging it in, turning it on, turning it off. Uh-huh. So we're saying all you want is to be able to feel the air in a different place. Okay. So you want to turn it. So you simply are moving it. You're not doing any malacha by doing that.
So you're
You have to
Technically, if you had an extension cord on a light,
right. By the way, how about the Shabbos lights when you're moving that? I'm saying, why is that permitted?
I thought because you're not touching the light bulb, you're touching the thing on.
Okay. No, but I'm saying, but the reason is because, the reason is because there's no malacha. As long as you're doing it for a permitted purpose. And when we say permitted, forbidden, we're not talking about moving it. Now we're asking, are you allowed to move it? You can move it as long as you're not. If something is a klisha malachta le'iser, you can move it for a permitted purpose, as long as if we're not dealing with muksa, I'm saying. In other words, you say you're allowed to move it or not move it. So you say, is what you're doing a hammer? What I'm doing a malacha? No, what I'm doing is I'm opening up a knot, which that act is permitted. Moving a fan, moving an object from one place to another place. What category of iser there is? There is no category of iser, so that would be permitted.
You don't have to move it.
No, these for klisha malachta le'iser, these things you can move directly. Yeah.
So, an air conditioner that has those levers.
Yeah.
So you can tilt it.
Correct.
Like, up if
correct.
It's just so cold.
Correct. Correct.
So when you use that lamp with the hammer, let's say to open the nut.
I'm sorry.
When you use the hammer to crack the nut.
Right.
You have to use it in any different way,
or you can use it just like a normal way. These reasons are things that you can do in a normal way. We're going to soon talk about amuksa items, and those you have to move in an indirect way. There are two categories of indirect ways, but letzarach kuvo, letzarach makomo, these are both, you can move these items directly for these purposes.
So, letzarach makomo, is that what you remove flowers?
I haven't. Yeah, I'll get. No, it's okay. I'm gonna get to that right now. Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
It has to do with the pots and teapots. What if your grandchildren they want to play with pots and spoons?
Right, so that would be Letzarach Gufo. So that would probably be Letzarach Gufo. Yeah, if they want to use it as a toy, so that would be Klisha Malachta Le'isser, Letzarach Gufo. They're using it for a permitted purpose. That'd be okay.
Are you going to put it away?
Why are you putting it away? Why?
Next
category, Letzarach Makomo. So another reason why you can... No, it's important. No, it's important. We're trying to learn the principles so that we can apply it to all these different situations. So another reason why you'd be allowed to move a klisha malachta le'iser is also if you need the space that the item presently occupies. For example, you can remove a hair dryer that was left on a Shabbos table. I assume it's not plugged in, to make room for play settings.
If it's plugged in, you can't unplug it.
If it's not on, then you probably... I think you can if it's not on. Right.
I don't know, this is the kitchen you probably had.
Right. Yeah, so if it's not... If it's not on, then it might be if it's... So the plug itself might be muksa. Let me double check that. I would probably unplug it indirectly. But if you're not doing anything when you unplug it, right?
I'm not an electrician.
No, no. If something's not on, right? If something's not on, right? So the plug might be muksa. The plug might be muksa. So let me. I'll send a follow up. But the
this was my kitchen.
Yeah. Right. So I think.
Right. So she could definitely move.
Yeah. No. Yeah, unplugged. But I think also plug shouldn't be an issue because. But yeah, I might consider the wire to be a muksa item. I'm going to double check and send a follow up email. But I think the plug. In other words, I think I might want to remove it. I believe Shmir Shabbos. What?
Or have like a kid
unplug. No, but I think you can do that indirectly. I think Shmir Shabbos Chazit speaks about that. But I'll just double check and follow up with that. I think that you can unplug it, and then that might be indirectly. But if you have just a hair dryer, Letzarach Makomo, then you can simply move it. Some poskim do allow you to move an item from a room if it's an eyesore and the guests are coming. This is a debatable point, but the number of poskim do allow you to move that.
Sorry, what about like kids? I don't know, like invent a crayon. Right. Like, no, you can't. Okay, you can use crayons anyway. And I want to put them away.
Why do you want to put them away?
Well,
Because
like,
they shouldn't be there.
They're on
the table.
Oh, so again, so if it's because... So I would say like this. If it's because you need the space for something, so
what if I don't need the space? It's just like...
It looks messy, you're saying.
What if you just don't want
to
be there?
Right, so I would kick it to the side. I don't know if it's like, say... If you need the space, it has to fit into one of these two categories. If you need it for a permitted purpose, or if you need the space, so you're saying because you want the room to be, you'd have to argue that you feel it's an eyesore and guests are coming.
Guests might touch it.
Right, but I'm not sure. I don't know. What I'm saying is I don't know if simply because you don't want them to pick it up and use it for malacha.
Oh,
okay. I think for that you would see there are ways to indirectly you can move it, but to directly move it, it seems that you can only do that if it's an eyesore, and I don't know, like,
it's,
you know,
an eyesore for me.
Yeah. maybe I'll follow up on that one.
I want it to be.
No, I understand. We've had... Right. So if you really feel it's an eyesore and you won't want to be there, so there might be an argument. I would personally rather you... And what if you like kick it to the side or something? Oh, you say because if it's... Oh, you say, wait, it's on the... Wait, if it's on the table, aren't you using the table for some other purpose?
But if it's just the four of us, he's over there, like, it's not bothering.
I thought it was bothering you.
No, I mean, it's not in the way.
It's on the way.
It's not in the way.
No, what I would do is you could indirectly sort of move it. We're going to talk about how to indirectly move it. I could indirectly move it, take a box and indirectly move it. I would indirectly move it into a box and then move the box somewhere. We're going to see how to, you know, the different ways to do this, okay? So when it comes to these items, once you pick up the item in a permitted manner, you can place it down wherever you want. You cannot move a kli shebalachta le'isser directly mechama le'tzel. Mechama le'tzel means from the sun to the shade, literally. It means out of a concern that the item will get ruined if it's left somewhere. Let's say someone, I don't know, outside. Let's say there's someone leaves a certain... We can talk about packages, but let's say someone leaves something outside, and let's say it's a cliche malachta l'isser, and you want to take it outside because it's raining, and it's pouring, and the item's going to get ruined outside. You would not be allowed to move it directly. You can move it indirectly. We'll talk about how to move it indirectly, but directly... In other words, what I'm talking about now is l'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech makomo. These are ways that you can move a cliche malachta l'isser directly. So if it's to protect the item, so then that would not fall under this permissibility, and then you would have to move it indirectly. We'll talk about how to move items indirectly.
Like, let's say kids' remote control cars outside.
Right.
I'm sorry, what?
A kid's remote control car is outside.
So what is that? It's probably cliche. Right. So
it's but it's going to...
Right, so you would have to. We're going to talk about the two different ways that you can move it indirectly. Yeah, so we talk about, so that would right, that would be example of mechama letzel. That would not be because you want to use it for a permitted purpose or because you need the space.
Right, you
don't want to get ruined.
Is that the flowers? That's why you can move flowers on the table, because you need it for the space.
Yeah, so flowers, I'm not sure. I'm not even sure. Flowers are what? They're cliche. Are they cliche not the leisar even?
Maybe.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't even know. You're allowed to move flowers to the table. At worst, they're cliche malach to the isser. They might even be cliche malach to the heter. I'm saying they might even be, because I don't know if they're...
I thought they were moksa.
No, the potted plants are muksa, as we'll talk about that, because the dirt is muksa.
Shabbos flowers.
Now,
on the table.
Right, take a vase. Right, to move the vase is not a problem. That's not a problem.
And even putting it back on the table?
Right, that's not a problem. Okay.
Then you don't want to move it.
Right.
You want to put it back on.
No, but you want to use it. I mean, either way, let's assume it, whatever it is, you want to use it for a permitted purpose. That's not.
I don't know. Once I move it, I don't know what happens to it. So you don't know if it's on the table.
No, I don't think. Okay. So so let's talk about a muksa item or a klisha malakta lisser that you want to move mechama letzeh. In other words, let's say something is one of the four items that we mentioned above, and it does, and it's not a klisha malakta lisser letzorach gufa letzorach makoma. So how can you move it? So you can move items based on one of two methods. The first method is tiltul min hatzad. You can indirectly move a muksa object by means of another non-muksa item upon which the item is resting. So what is it? So we're going to see, and that's permitted litzorech davar hamutter, where the main purpose of the movement is movement of the non-muksa item. So what does this all mean? So for example, let's say you have coins on a couch cushion. The coins are muksa. So you want to be able to sit on the couch. So what you can do is you take the couch cushion and you shake the couch cushion so the coins fall off. So what you're doing is you're indirectly moving the coins and you're doing that for a permitted purpose. You're not doing it for the coins.
If that was a cell phone, you could just pick it up and move it.
A cell phone.
You're saying that it's worse,
right,
to be
a cell phone. I don't like a cell phone. Is that a muksa machas or a kiss?
So what's an asr? A muksa machas asr.
A miklisha latul
isser?
Right, right. So let's say a hammer.
So if the hammer,
Is on there, you can pick it up.
Well, that seems so weird that you have to be stricter about things that are less muksa-y.
No, coins are more muksa-y than a hammer.
Oh, why?
Because money has no intrinsic purpose at all on Shabbos. A hammer actually has a permitted purpose on Shabbos. You can set a hammer to smash open nuts, right? So money has no inherent intrinsic value. It's more, in your term, it's more muksa'i, right? So therefore, the only way to move that would be in an indirect manner. So therefore, you can shake.
And how do you move the phone?
So the phone also. The phone is like, some of these things are very unclear. It's a cell phone. That might be muksa machmas chisaron kis. You know, if it's an expensive phone.
Expensive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think I would treat it as muksa machmas chisaron kis. So I would, again, I could also shake it. I would also shake it off. But you can shake it. Just make sure you have a box underneath. You don't want it to get ruined. But you can shake it, you know, you try to find a way. Or what you could even do is you can take the cushion off and do it away so it's not gonna crack. I mean, don't do it in a way that that could cause damage to your phone.
Can you just move it with like an elbow or something?
Yeah, so that's what you're talking about, the second category. That's also permitted. See, this tiltul min hatzad is a normal way. You're doing something in a normal way. You're using your hands in a normal way, but you're not directly touching the muksa item. That's tiltul min hatzad. In other words, you're picking up the couch cushion in a normal way. You're not touching the money. You're not touching the muksa item, and so you're just picking up and you're shaking it off.
How much is like a not normal way? Like, can you take a tissue?
No, I'm saying it's a normal way.
A normal way. Like, can you take a tissue and do that? Like, that's not, you wouldn't pick up your phone like that.
Oh, you're saying you put a tissue.
Can you do this?
Right, it's a good question. Yeah, so
okay.
That is where you're not directly. Can you wear gloves and write and move the? So I don't think. No, I know. I understand what you're saying. I think the point is that you're not. Let's say if you take a tissue and you put it on top of your phone, it's really the force of your hand which is moving that. When it comes to the couch, it's really the couch itself which is pushing it off.
Touching.
Right. Let's say you have something, you have some money on a table, right? And you take a knife and you sort of, you know, so that's fine. I think it's different than taking a tissue and moving it with your hand. That would also be permitted. Another example I gave here is If muksa items were unintentionally left on top of a jacket, remember unintentionally, because if you intentionally wanted the jacket to support, I don't know why you would do that, then the jacket would be a basis, the base for the muksa item. But if you unintentionally left some muksa items on the jacket and you want the jacket, so you can sort of pick up the jacket in a way where the muksa item slips off, right? In a way, hopefully it doesn't ruin the muksa items, because that you're moving it, and that's tiltal min hatzad. You're moving the muksa items indirectly, but you're doing it for a permitted purpose. That's why your example before, Laurie, that you gave it with the let's say the phone was put in the drawer, and you're taking an item, and let's say indirectly while you're taking the item, it causes the phone to move. That would be tiltal min hatzad letzorach davar hamutar. Okay. An example also that sometimes may happen, you can grasp a non-muksa, again, you should try to separate your house keys from your car keys, but if you forget, you can grasp a non-muksa house key or a key ring, even though the other keys will be carried along. Again, why? Because you're not touching, you know, what are you doing? You're moving taking the house key. And the other things are being moved, but it's litzorech davar hamutter. Again, it's better, it's preferable, all the svarim say, it's better to remove the car keys from the, you know, from the key ring before Shabbos. But if you're stuck, it probably actually is better. Sometimes you'd say, oh my gosh, I accidentally left the car key, you know, with the house key, so let me remove it. But the truth is, it might be worse, because there you might be directly touching here if you... You know, you're physically just.
You can remove your house key.
Okay, right. Yeah, you're much smarter than me. Yeah, right. Yeah. You move the house key. Right. You move the house key. Right. So this tiltal min hatzad, it's litzorech. Right, you're doing it in a normal way, and that is only permitted litzorech davar hamutter, but that doesn't solve your remote control car issue, right? Or something else that you wanna. Right. Let's say, for example, you want to move the muksa item because you don't want the muksa item to get ruined. Right. So for that, that's called tiltul kilachar yad. Some people call that tiltul begufo. So that's moving a muksa item in an unusual manner, such as with your body, with your teeth, your foot, your elbow, your back of the hand. Some poskim are strict on that, but many poskim are lenient. I think you should be lenient on that. Or even your breath, if you blow on something to move it. Okay, that's also, even where the main purpose is the movement of the muksa item. For example, you can move coins that have been left on the floor with your feet to prevent them from being found, or you can blow at paper money in order to move it to a secure place.
You can blow it all the way home.
I am going to talk about a case. I'm actually going to talk about a case where you find money in your pocket. What do you do on Shabbos? We'll talk about that in a second. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Okay. So these are the two ways that you can move something indirectly. Notice that you can do a lot more if you do tiltul kilachar yad. If you do something in an unusual manner. So that is tiltul kilachar yad. You can even do that for the protection of the item. So that's why if there's something. So the point is, you can kick the remote control car somehow into your house, or carry it with two feet and pick it up until it gets to your house. If you have a package that you know is muksa or something that's outside, and you know it's muksa, what's inside is real muksa, and you're afraid someone's going to steal it, you would be allowed to kick it. And if you ever go home from show one day and you see me kicking a large Amazon package in front of my house, you know it's because I believe that's muksa. So you should be machber. If you can very often you sort of know a little bit, but sometimes you may not know. I don't know, but you should. Right. Another, we can talk about it. For example, if you have like a big, I don't know, you have something that's klishim lachal iser, a big box or something of I don't know, tish, I don't know, it's a roll, a big box of, you know, the paper towels, right? So if you can't get into your house, you probably could actually pick it up and move it directly. That would be litzarach makomo. But if you're not sure, it could be something muksa, then you probably would kick it into your house. Okay. So we covered, right? We went through the four major categories. We talked about greatest leniency for klisha malato leiser letzarach gufo letzarach makomo. We talked about for anything if it's not letzarach gufo letzarach makomo for klisha malato leiser. Or it's a real muksa. Then there are two ways to move it. It'll either tiltul min hatzad or tiltul kilachar yad. Right, kilachar yad means with your body, your teeth, your foot, your back of your hand, your breath even, that you could even move it for the purpose of the muksa item. And tiltul min hatzad, that's only, which is a normal way of moving something, as long as you don't touch the item directly, the muksa item directly, but that's for a permitted purpose. Now, I gave four other rules which come up when you can move the following muksa items. Something called graf shel rei, repulsive objects or substances if their presence is revolting or extremely disturbing. Dina, I don't know if this means the crayons on the table. I'll give you a common example. So obviously, dead rodent, badly spoiled food or a soiled diaper. I called Rabbi Willig about this. I said, what about leftover peels or shells from the Shabbos table? In other words, let's say you have food, and so sometimes the bones are, let's say there's food, attached to the bones. Maybe that's not muksa, but let's say something, shells or peels that's completely inedible. So I said, you have to do it indirectly, let's say with a knife, or would this fit under graf shel rei? And he said, this would fit under graf shel rei. He said, anyone. So you would be allowed to, so based on you wouldn't want peels or shells remaining on your table, you can remove them indirectly. Okay?
This is all indirectly?
No, this is directly. You can move this directly. The special leniency by Chazal, our sages, regarding what's called graf shel rei. Okay? You can move this directly. Okay, another rule number two. Right? Okay? Items that were designated for permitted use before Shabbos. So, for example, let's say before Shabbos, you have a brick or a rock, and you want to designate it as a permanent doorstop for some reason. Or let's say, for example, you have sand that you want to use to spread on an icy walk or steps.
You can do that.
Right. Because you're trying to prevent from harm. That's really a different category in terms of that. But in terms of let's say even sand for a sandbox, if you set aside, if you designate it, you have sand in a sandbox, so the kids, they're playing in the sandbox, now how can they play in the sand? The sand is muksa. The answer is, you've designated, not playing the sand in the beach, that might be different, because that you can't just, if it's enclosed in a sandbox, so you could say that you've designated this for use, for playing, so that would be an example where you've taken something that's muksa, it's set aside, and you've turned it into a kli, something that's fit for use.
So when my grandson was very little and he looked at all the rocks here, so we took a big rock and we wrote on the Shabbos, and that was the Shabbos rock.
Right. You did everything for sure. You got that, and there is the thing, yeah. Yeah, no, right. Right.
Because he was picking up rocks all over town.
Right, yeah.
And Daddy said, you can't do that.
Right, right.
So we wrote Shabbos, right. He does it. He took this rock every minute and
right.
Picked it up.
Right, right.
I still have it.
Right, right. Okay.
Right. And she cracked it.
Right. Yeah.
But I have another question. When you say you can designate sand to put down, in case it's icy.
Right.
So what about the ice melt? You're allowed to use that?
So, right. So the answer is you're allowed to, because you think it's a molid question, right? So the question, it's not recognizable. The answer is it's not recognizable. Now, the difference is not recognizable, and it's to prevent harm. So poskim are lenient when it comes to that.
Is that what about umbrellas?
What?
I never really understood. What about umbrellas?
That's a
binyan.
That's different.
Is that why it is, or is it because?
Oh, an umbrella. The real answer of an umbrella is that you say, why can't you use an umbrella?
You have a Shabbos umbrella. You say that's right, a Shabbos
right.
umbrella.
So first, of all, again, the issue with the again, there are two different right. So someone said we're going to make something called a shumbrella, right? A Shabbos umbrella. So the Again, there are two different questions. So number one, you have to define what an umbrella is, and then you have to ask, can I move the umbrella? Right? So the truth is, the language, I don't have it on me, but the language of Shemir Shabbos is something like Gadru, Gidro, Gdero. So they have three languages of offense. I believe that originally the way umbrellas were opened in a way that created more of a permanent structure. I don't know if nowadays...
one little wind.
What I'm saying is I don't know if nowadays... It might be more temporary now, which is really, it's not a topic, but I think it's more of a gather offense that we don't use umbrellas. But I'm saying, in other words, to open and close it might be more of a gather. I'm not saying we should use it, but I'm saying I think that the older, I remember when I looked at this a while back, I believe, when we talked about, opening the umbrellas, there's much more involved than today's. Yeah. But they said it's a gather. We don't use umbrellas nowadays. So it's not based on a muksa, the thing itself, the opening and the closing. And then because you can't open and close it, so then it becomes maybe a klisha malach to l'isser. Okay. So you always, that's an important question. You always have to ask yourself two different questions. You have to define it, and then you apply the rules. You have to define what the item is, and then apply the rules. So the third category is to remove potential harm. There are pieces of glass on the floor. You can pick it up directly. Okay? You don't have...
It's the same as like moving the urn or a hot plate if the kid wants to like touch it. And you need to like move it further.
Right. The hot plate can be even better. The hot plate might be a klisha malach to l'heter. If it doesn't, because... The truth is a hot plate, I spoke to Willie about this, that a hot plate, as long as it doesn't have, some of the posts can talk about like if there are coils there, but I don't think our hot plates have coils. The hot plate is predominantly used for a permitted purpose. It's predominantly used to heat up food, which on Shabbos, which is permitted. Mm-hmm. So you can move the hot plate directly. But what I would say is, all these things where when Chazal say you're allowed to move something to remove potential harm, we want to try to avoid it to begin with. So we don't want to create a situation where, if you're in that situation, you can move whatever item that's dangerous, but we want to try to not create a situation where you're going to have to rely on it. Okay? Now, if the muksa item is already in our possession, and we didn't realize, and removing it might result in a significant financial loss. So this is Shmir Shavuos Kachasa talks about this. For example, if you realize that you left your wallet in your pocket, then you can move, you can walk to a place where you can indirectly remove the wallet from our pocket to a secure place. Okay? Again, there's a Shulchan Aruch Harav which speaks about this. Shmir Shavuos Kachasa quotes this. It's interesting question, how you define something in your pocket. So would that be what? Tiltil minatzad. It's probably tiltil minatzad, because it's probably a normal way to carry something, but you're not carrying it directly, it's in your pocket. And since it didn't come to, since you didn't pick it up yourself, you didn't pick up the muksa item yourself, you forgot it, and it's in your possession, you didn't realize it, and there'll be a major financial loss if you just drop the wallet, somewhere. So Shmir Shavuos Kachas is lenient for you to take it to a place, that you're not embarrassed to, embarrassed to take it in front of everyone, to remove it in front of a lot of people. So Shmir Shavuos Kachas is lenient, and he says that if you find it, if you find a muksa item, so you can do tiltol min hatzad, and move it to a place where you can, remove it indirectly without touching it.
What if you find something in the stroller?
I was thinking that. Mm-hmm.
So in a stroller.
Sometimes the kids put stuff in there.
Right. So that would probably be similar. Well, what do they put in there?
They could put anything. What if they find my wallet and they put it in?
Right. So that would probably be the same.
But I'm saying it's the same.
It would be the same thing. Yeah.
To, like, somehow get it out of the bottom of the stroller.
Yeah, but you can do it right. You can. First of all, you can kick the bottom of the stroller so it comes out when you get there. I'm just saying you can do it. Oh, right. You can do it in a different way. Just don't pick it up directly.
Okay, but I can't just continue pushing the stroller.
No, you can.
No, but not until after Shabbos.
What do you mean?
I can't. Pick
actually,
it.
Use the stroller.
No, it's my point.
Shabbos, I can't. I have to take it out, right?
What I'm saying
I
is,
like
now,
no. Walking to Esther's house, and I find it in shul. Like, I go to the stroller, and then after shul, we're going to Esther, and then I find it.
So wait, so you find it.
No,
see, so you try to, you try to put, you could remove it at a place.
So she has to
say, right, I'm saying,
does she have to?
Oh, yeah, you should try to remove it. You should try to move it in the first place
that you realize.
Where it's easier, because where it's, you should try to move it in the first place where you feel, right, I don't think that you would have to, like, not use the stroller for rest of Shabbos, but I would say that you should try to remove it
as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing.
Okay,
I have a question.
Yeah.
What about, does it matter if there's an interval or not interval problems with, like, the pocket, with a pocket and you're walking?
Yeah, of course it makes a difference.
So
yeah.
It's the same, so what
no.
about, you know, the thing with the, like, the stroller, of course you're not going to, you don't use it for that error.
Right.
But what about if it's in your pocket and you weren't planning it?
Yeah, that's more of a problem. It's more of a problem.
Yeah.
That's more carrying problem. Yeah, that's more of a problem. There are some post-game who are, it's much harder to be leading with that.
So what you were talking about
when the I'm only talking about
A-roof,
yeah, the Shemir Shabbos only talks about where
okay.
the right, if there's no A-roof, then I think it's a problem.
Okay.
Now the so there are a few other miscellaneous muksa halachos. So number one is many poskim treat pets as being muksa. There is a posthumous tshuva. There's a posthumous responsum by Rav Moshe Feinstein, which it's questionable. So there's some tshuvos that are, like, say, they were written after he passed away, and like they don't have the same authoritative status. I'm not saying they're not accurate. I'm saying there's a question with among some of them, but there is a tshuva where he writes, and he writes, I think it's Pei Ayin Tes Samach Pets. So see, here's the thing. So the Gemara talks about Bale Chayim. They say that living things are muksa. Because why is something muksa? Because they don't have a use, right? Food has a use, a kli, a utensil has a use. Animals don't have a use, or a Shabbos use, right? So, I understand. So the no. So you're right. So the question is, nowadays that they do. So nowadays that they do, so do you say that the prohibition of Bale Chaim was under the assumption that they didn't have a use, now they have a use, so they should be permitted? Or do we say, no, they made this gezeira and it applies regardless? So again, there are some poskim who are lenient. You know, many poskim are strict. And even the poskim who are strict, they say that for tsar bale chayim, if it would cause an animal to suffer, then you would be allowed to, let's say, take the animal for a walk, preferably by a leash, so you're not holding it directly. So again, I can't say that, nope, there are some poskim who are lenient. My poskim is strict, but there's a good argument to be lenient, but... that's really the question. The question is, when Chazal said that Bale Chaim, a living thing, is considered muksa, are they saying, did they make categorically Bale Chaim to be muksa? Or did they say it's muksa for this reason? And clearly nowadays, like you say, you play with pets nowadays.
But what's the difference then? They didn't play with pets.
They did not play with pets nowadays. No, they didn't. They didn't.
We know that?
No.
Yeah, they talked. They talked. Yeah. They didn't. I mean, I didn't study... I didn't say the secular history behind that, but they didn't come up. They're talking about, I think there's a Tosa that talks about a bird that sings, and they were talking about some of that. But I think that's it's a discussion, and there is this posthumous tshuva where he says clearly it's permitted, but again, not everyone holds like that. And again, I'm not sure. I don't want to say Moshe definitely holds like that, because apparently may have another tshuva where he says it's not allowed. But that's a questionable. Questionable position.
I think it's your own parents' pine, because
It's something different, Mary. You know, you're allowed to feed your own pet. You're allowed to feed your own pet.
Then let's say the dog is used to you playing with, like, you're going to cause it harm and distress.
Okay, so.
But if it's not your pet, then you shouldn't be touching it because there's no reason.
So again, so if.
That's what I thought.
So wait, so, no. So if, again, you're right. If it's going to cause the animal harm, you are allowed to.
Right, so for
to avoid, to for your, but it's preferable if it's. Again, I don't know much about taking care of pets. Just a little history. My daughter Leora really wants a pet. She really wants a dog. I will tell you that we got Daniil some fish. Well, you know about my fish. It's causing so much work with the fish. There's no chance we're getting a dog. So I can't comment on what a dog needs, what a dog doesn't need. I'm telling you, it's preferable when you're taking care of a dog to avoid, for the purpose of Sarbai Chayim, to not touch it. If you need to touch it, then you can touch it. But it's preferable not to touch it for the purpose of Sarbai Chayim. You know, I'm just, that's, you know, that's what it is. You know, I don't know how much playing they need. I can't speak to that. I don't know the facts about that. Okay. Whether an Amazon package or a piece of mail is muksa, klisha malach to leissa, or klisha malach to leheter. Klisha malach to leheter is anything that you use predominantly for a permitted purpose. So what about packages that you get? So that depends on the contents of the package or the mail. And if the package you're getting, if you know that in the package, you know, you're getting some clothing, so that's a klisha malach to leheter. It goes by the items inside. Okay?
Package of diapers, and you thought you were getting it on Friday,
right? So that'd be klisha malach to leheter.
You need the diapers.
You can destroy the package.
You could just open it regularly.
Yes, yeah. Well, you destroy the package. You destroy the package.
That's a
thing. Right.
You can. No, you should try not to have it come on Shabbos. You can't do it. If it does, you could just, if you need it, you can destroy the package. As a general policy, I spoke of this during Shal Shittas, maybe you can talk. But as a general policy, I'm not a big fan of opening up items, but no, I'm saying if you need it and it comes, then you'll be allowed to destroy the package. And then
you can, different way than usual.
Well, you destroy the package. Just destroy the package.
Have the kids.
No, you could do it yourself.
No, I'm saying, like,
you could destroy the box. Destroy the box, destroy the package. Right, destroy the
package. That's the same idea, but let's say, like, it's happened that the same thing. So I'm assuming it's a fine. You realize, shoot, I've finished diapers. I need to open the next plastic.
Right, yeah, same thing, right. And it's a need for shots, right.
And then also the
way. Right, there's the heter to.
Could you use a scissor to open
the diaper? The heter, use a scissor to open the diaper. Not sure about that. Yeah, I don't think so.
You usually rip it anyway. It's fine. But that's your normal way of opening it.
No, that's fine. See, the goal of opening, it's the same way you can. It's the same thing for opening the thing of opening packages. That's another topic, but we can discuss that. But I'm saying, it's generally speaking, if you're destroying the item, so then you can. That's we have to wait for another set to discuss that. But I'm telling you that if you destroy a pack, just like it's not a food halacha, it's a Shabbos need halacha. That you can destroy the package, the wrapping, to get to the item. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, be careful not to record.
Right. Yes. That's, you should try. Yes. Yeah. Okay. But it's not. It's, yeah. Okay. The packaging. Yes. We have to come back for another Saturday night for that. Let me. So the but it's fair because I talked about the package. So again, if most pieces of mail are probably klisha malach to leissa, maybe, I don't know if it's something very expensive. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but it goes by the item inside the package. There's whatever's inside the package that determines whether it's klisha malach to leissa leheter or muksa machmas chisaron kis. I'm sure it's not muksa machmas gufa, probably not. But the packaging inside, and then you use these rules that we talked about in terms of how to move it. Right? I mean, again, the safest way, if you're not sure, you can always kick it inside. Hopefully don't destroy it, the package, but I assume it's a... okay, and then I mentioned that potted plants are treated as muksa machmas gufo.
How
much
are in your way? You need it to open, like it's a...
The potted plants?
Yeah, it's in your way.
So you'd have to do it in an indirect way. You could do it with your elbow or something, because the dirt is muksa. And as I mentioned, a hot plate that does not have heating coils is treated as a klisha malachtala heter, and so you can move it. You can move that directly. So hopefully, I think I covered categories, and I gave a lot of examples, and this is a good cheat sheet. I think that hopefully we have a good summary in terms of how to go about the different issues.